Imagine a stage production of Camille with the Greta Garbo role played by a man in drag. That's one of the productions that established actor Charles Ludlam and his ridiculous theatrical company. The company, based in Manhattan, is best known for comedic, gender-bending reinterpretations of classic theater and film. When Charles Ludlam died of AIDS in 1987, his fans feared they had lost not only a great actor, but a wonderful company. But the company has continued under the leadership of Everett Quinton, who had performed with the company since the mid-70s and had been Ludlam's lover for as long. After playing many of the roles Ludlam had originated, Quinton started adapting his own material, such as The Hunchback of Notre Dame and A Tale of Two Cities. Next month, the company will have a 25th anniversary gala. I asked Quinton if taking over the company was a difficult decision and if he had ever discussed the possibility with Ludlam.
Actually, we were being interviewed on National Public Radio a number of years ago, and the question came up that if anything happened to Charles, could the company continue? And because Charles was in the room, we all said, well, no. And nobody considered that he would die, so it was not even an issue that anything you had really needed to take issue with. And then when we got home that night, we talked about it further, and Charles wanted to know why it couldn't go on if something happened to him. And then the usual reasons that he was so great, and he was. And then I said, well, I didn't think that I could direct it. And he said that he thought I could. And so far it's working. So I'm a little happy with that.
Well, you not only took over the company, but you also started appearing in more of the leading roles. Was it hard for you at the beginning to perform in roles that Charles Ludlam had originated?
Well, not in the smaller roles or the other roles that he didn't get so famous for. They were just kind of fair game. But then when I did Camille, at first in the rehearsal, I had seen Charles do it a lot because I was in it. And I knew exactly what he did, and I knew what his jokes were. And then when I started to rehearse it, I started almost to imitate him. And Eureka, an actress and director in the group, was the assistant director on this. And I got a little scared, and I said, well, I feel like I'm imitating him, and I feel like I'm afraid of that. And she encouraged me to just proceed. And she said that I would emerge somehow. And then it started to happen. And then I started to feel the imitating drop away. Because Charles and I are two totally different actors. And
You're physically very different, too.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I felt myself emerging as Marguerite Gautier. And then suddenly it just became a play. And then I had my job as an actor, and then I just had to accomplish the creation, and that was that.
Have you always loved old movies?
Yeah, that was my kind of escape. When I was a kid, we didn't have much, but we had our television, and me and my sister used to stay up all night sometimes, like on the weekends and things. And I grew up in the 50s, and you'd have all those great movies on the Late Show and the Late Late Show, and they would go on into the night, and we would just get our little TV guide and go to town.
Were there certain movies you were most obsessive about that you'd want to watch over and over?
Well, when I was a kid, we used to have the Million Dollar Movie.
Yes, I grew up in New York, too. They showed the same movie over and over all week.
15, 16 times a week, and the great one that we watched was The Thing from Another World.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever see that?
Many times.
It was so fabulous. That was great. And Caged, which was the great movie with all the great stars. Eleanor Parker was the little prisoner, and Hope Emerson was the evil warden, the matron, and Agnes Moorhead was the warden. Oh, it was so fabulous. And Jan Sterling was the prostitute. Oh, it was so great.
Let me ask you. You met Charles Ludlam in 1975.
Yeah.
You became lovers and joined the Ridiculous Theatrical Company. Had you acted before?
I was in a production of Rip Van Winkle when I was in the Cub Scouts.
So go ahead.
I was about to become an actor. I was in school, and I knew I was taking all this theater, these theater classes.
Uh-huh.
And I, see, it's hard to say where I would have gone. I mean, I feel certain I would have done something theatrical. I was heading in that direction. I just got really lucky.
So what was it like for you when you first started acting in the company?
It was liberating. It was an exciting thing for me. See, I knew I was queer when I was a kid. Like all queers know it. We know it, and it's nothing that mommy or daddy does to you. You don't get dropped on your head and get abused and become queer. You're born that way. And I wish some people would just get it into their heads and get over it so they can get they could get on with living. See, and my trouble, see, I never had a problem myself being gay. The thing that frightened me was people's reactions and their power to do you harm. That's what bugged me. It was not my own. So, and I knew when I was a kid that I was this little drag queen and very happy to be that in my own soul. But it was terrifying. And then that's another issue because even in the gay community, there's a discrimination there. But everybody's got to look down on someone. But then I got into the group and it liberated me. It moved me. It shifted my thinking to see this.
So you said that you had been a drag queen for years, that you knew you were, but did you dress in drag in public? Or
no, I mean, once on Halloween I did, and I would wrap my towels around me in the shower. But see, then I thought I was nuts. See, that's my other, I'm getting to this point. See, I wrap myself in my towel in my bathroom, and I always, and it was so hidden, and I always thought I was crazy until I got into this group, and suddenly I wasn't nuts anymore. Suddenly I had found my place, and suddenly I was able to do whatever I wanted. And that's what we get in the group. Because we don't just do drag. That's not our total purpose. I play men and I play women. And I get to create characters, and it's totally liberating not to be locked into anything.
Have your parents ever come to see you perform?
No, they're both dead.
Oh, I see.
They died in the 70s. So I have to live that through my friends' parents.
Right.
So when they come, I get all nervous when the composer's mother and grandmother come. And so...
Did your parents know that you were gay or that you were a drag queen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My father was sick when we were doing the Ringot for Blunget, and he was in the hospital, and I played Floss Hilda, the Rhine Maiden, and Ninny, the evil dwarf, in that. And I didn't get mentioned, but my name was listed in the you know how the Times lists the whole cast?
Yeah.
And my name was there, and he was real happy that I was in this play. And
that's nice.
Yeah, so...
Do you have any young actors coming into the company who remind you of yourself when you first started?
Not like me, no, but in courage, in the sense of, you know, like I remember when I was a kid, I didn't kind of really know what I was doing, but I did it anyway, and like you come in and you have talent and you've got guts and that's it. And then you get molded, and then over time, you develop your bag of tricks. So you see these people with talent and you see them with courage. Because it's like one of the most frightening things in the world, at least for me, is to step from backstage onto the stage. It's like one of the most terrifying moments when you're just about to do it for the first time. And it happens to me every night, even after all this time. It's like you want to be dead. And in that respect, we had one actor, we have Jimmy Lamb, who's this real good-looking guy, very beautiful, and he was waiting to go on in Big Hotel. And then I'm standing there watching him. I was going on right after him. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, even the great beauties are reduced to quivering flesh before they step onto the stage. And it's so, you know, that in that respect, does that answer the question?
Absolutely, no. Absolutely. Everett Quinton, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Everett Quinton is the director of the Ridiculous Theatrical Company in New York, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary. He's currently starring in Bluebeard and The Bells. This is Fresh Air.